supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
No, it's not a phase, a shortcut to being edgy and cool, or a ruse to get in bed with as many people as possible. Today we are talking about the B word, bisexuality among people of color. I'm your host, Jamie J, here on Common Space, a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY in Philadelphia. You know, we humans love to categorize. So in 1948, the Kinsey Institute created this scale that went from 0 to 6. 0 being completely heterosexual, and 6 being exclusively homosexual. Well, it might come as a surprise, but most people found themselves at a 1 or a 5. There were very few 3s, making bisexuality a relatively rare occurrence. To be out and proud under the letter B can be exhausting, constantly reestablishing yourself when society tells you to just pick a side. For anyone that's bisexual and a person of color, they have yet another layer of complexity, as many bisexuals of color face prejudices that can result in a kind of invisibility. So we asked Common Space associate producer Jen Cleary to check out the experience of 2 bi people of color. So she spoke with Vendetta Washington and Charles Tyson Jr. about their lives.
I wanted to know what your experience was growing up, finding out that you're bisexual.
I came out to myself in high school, probably around 15, 16. But I'd always known that there was something like, I'm not gay because she's cute, but I don't know, puberty. And I came out publicly around 19 when I was in the Temple Lambda Alliance. They saved my little life. Now it's great because, you know, I get to be myself all the time. But there's the constant, oh, you're just gay. Or, you know, oh, I can't compete with a man. And just I wrote a blog piece called The Straight Woman's Guide for Dating Bi Guys. And it still gets traffic every single day. It gets comments. It gets questions. I love my bi boyfriend, but how do I, you know, and, you know, I can actually, like, give a little advice, tell people to calm down. One of the main themes in the piece is calm the F down. It's a relationship. If he loves you, he loves you. If he wants to be with you, he'll be with you. If he leaves you, it's nothing to do with whether or not you have a penis. It has to do with the relationship.
I had inklings of my bisexuality pretty early on. In fact, I remember the old Sonny and Cher show, when Cher would do that little thing she would do with getting on top of the piano, mm-hmm. and Sonny would play and she'd be swinging her feather boa, I'd be riveted to the screen like, wow. I thought she was so beautiful. And Pam Grier also guest on the Sonny and Cher show. And then a few years later, I saw Wonder Woman, Linda Carter. And I was already head over heels in love with little Michael Jackson, who was preteen and then adolescent Michael. I had absolutely no idea that there was an actual word for how I felt. And I always grew up around queer people. And I had heard my family, you know, whisper and talk about so-and-so likes men, you know, he da-da-da. But I was never, ever allowed to disrespect anyone. And I mean, I wouldn't think of it. You know, I thought of them as my family and extended family. Why would I? But I do remember when I finally came out to myself in my diary, which my mom found.
Oh.
And, Mom, I love you. But I gotta tell the truth, she found my diary, read what I had written, grabbed it, showed it to me, and said, you need to write something else. And she ripped the page out. And I didn't understand why. Number one, she was peeking through my private things. Number two, why I had to write something else when it was writing what I truly felt. So I learned how to hide it. But I wasn't quite so successful at hiding it. I came out to myself twice in my 20s and to other people, actually, in my 20s as well. One friend kind of acted rather oddly. She took it kind of hard. She then proceeded to ask me, well, are you attracted to me? And I said, no. She's like, what's the matter? Am I not good enough? So you can't win for losing.
Right. So there's that interesting thing about having to come out and then having to come out again and then having to come out again, especially when you're bisexual, because everybody just wants you to kind of pick a side.
Exactly.
Right. So how do you stay visibly bisexual?
That is a very good question. I have a boyfriend, and we're in a monogamous relationship. But every now and again, you have to, you know, say, oh, look at her. You know, just drop it. Don't make a big deal out of it. It's a genuine moment, you know. But if you're around the same people who see you do this every now and again, hopefully it becomes, like, a part of their perception of you. Oh, okay, he likes both.
I just say, yeah, flirt, look at ya.
So, yeah, staying visible. So how do you stay visible?
Well, of course you can't see. To those of you who are listening, you can't see, but I have a buzz cut between, I guess, my appearance. And there's times I actually wear lapel pins, like my Bi Pride lapel pin. And basically, just as Charles said, I would drop certain things, you know, just certain hints. Like, oh, he's cute, she's cute, yeah.
So we're talking about also being in communities of color and what it is to be a bisexual person in communities of color. Because, at least for me, there's the idea of having to choose a side, repressing any homosexual tendency whatsoever, and being straight or acting straight. And there's that idea that acting straight is desirable also. Have you had any experience with that?
That is a big thing. Like, as a queer person of color, male specifically, like, there's the whole, you know, stereotype of the effeminacy of the black man and weakening the stock and whatever. In terms of the community at large, there is also that stereotype alongside, you know, well, it's an intrigue, it's something to, I'm the straight boy whisperer, like every questioning straight man decides to tell me his secrets. And I'm, of course, a listening ear, because for real, that's real. But also, it's like, what's your end game here, dude?
So then my question to you is, we're familiar with the term on the down low.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, how many times have we encountered people who are on the down low?
Oh, yes. Why do married women always come to me? I'm like, I can't help you, darling. That's something you're going to have to do some serious soul searching about. But as far as my experience being a queer woman of color in communities of color, yeah, we are either fetishized. Oh yeah, me and my girlfriend or wife want to have a threesome, you know, how about you hit us up? No, and furthermore, no. Or I get men saying, oh, I bet you I could change your mind and make you completely straight, you know. Just no. You can't convince me to be on one side or the other. And then I also get from lesbians, oh, well, if you want women, you're going to have to butch it up. And which leads me to the story about me attempting to try on men's trousers. It needed a laugh track. I cannot be that butch to save my life.
So, Charles, kind of the same thing. Have you ever experienced people who are on the down low, as it were, and like don't want to admit?
Lord. Well, those are the straight boys. I'm the straight boy whisperer because after I have let it be known that I am bisexual, then these men feel comfortable because they figure, well, finally someone understands these feelings. And so, but it inevitably will turn into a come on, which, no, I'm not doing that. But I will talk to you. I will be honest with you. I will answer questions. But it's like, we're not doing that.
Thank you.
You know? It's, every conversation doesn't have to end in sex.
Thank you.
And then the question, of course, is that since you're bi, of course you'd want to have sex with everybody.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we ain't talking about that right now.
But I think, the assumption is that, of course, you are just insatiable because you're attracted to all the things, right? Does that ever, that never happened? I mean, people
No, I'm, as Mae West would put it, I am selectively promiscuous.
When I put out the call for this, it was a lot of white women who were absolutely unafraid to just tell everybody that they're bisexual. And I think there's something there in that there were very few people of color who came out and said, like, yeah, yes, I'm also bisexual. Is this going to end up on the radio? Why is it okay for white women to be bisexual? Mm. And it's not okay, generally speaking, for people of color.
Hmm. Well, from my perspective, white people are usually, well, specifically women here, they're usually seen as the gatekeepers of social mores, if you will. And if they do it, it's something to either be emulated or shunned. And communities of color, specifically Black communities, look at that as, okay, we can either take that on or reject it. And religion plays a very large role in the rejection of, and I hate to use this term, alternate sexualities. Even heterosexuality is heavily policed, heavily. But white people, specifically women, are freer to explore their sexuality. Whereas Black women, our sexuality has been fetishized, it's been demonized, politicized. Yes, just add "ized" onto the end of a lot of different words. And so Black women, Black queer women, are very careful in how they present themselves. Even masculine of center women, I notice, are very, very specific about how they present themselves. And the femme women as well.
Did you grow up religious?
Well, I spent 13 years in Catholic school, if you count kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to go to public school for high school. I was not allowed. I must continue my valuable Catholic education, even though we were Baptist. I never understood that, actually. And then they were like, do you want to go to a religious college? And I said, no, I'm good. I got enough Jesus. I'm just now getting back into a relationship with spirituality. Mm-hmm. It's taken a while because the religion ain't been good to me. You know, in high school, singing in the choir, and they were doing this skit. This is part of, like, school mass. They were doing this skit about sin. And so, like, each person is a representative of the sin, and they walk up before Jesus and say, this is who I am. Can you please forgive me? And one of the kids who was my friend, he's in a peach top and khakis and carrying a purse and a scarf around his neck, and he goes, I am homosexual and I like people of the same sex. Would you please change me and help? And I'm in the choir going, okay, this is that's stupid. I'm not.
Especially those khakis with that top. Thank you.
I wasn't even going to go there, but I by this point spent 11 years in Catholic school wearing uniforms, so I'm not going to be the one to pick apart someone's outfit wearing what I was wearing at the time.
Right. So that brings up another thing. Like, when do we learn that bisexuality is wrong? Air quotes, wrong.
I learned that it was wrong when I basically said, you know, out loud, oh God, what was I thinking? At like 9 years old, that I thought Pam Grier was beautiful and I wanted to marry her, but I'd have to get Michael Jackson's, you know, permission first since he's going to be my husband too. And my parents are like, what? I was like, I'd love them both. And my mom said, well, you can't. I'm like, why? Because. And this is where I went into the whole why thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being, you know, precocious little thing, I started to, you know, look up things in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. And I started to put two and two together. And I quickly learned that any form of queerness was really to be whispered about and shunned. So it's like, you know, you better tuck this in until a later date and time.
I was rather open with my parents once I came out because I knew that they had homophobic thoughts and tendencies, but they also raised me to, like, be proud of myself and tell the truth. So that was their fault. And so, you know, it was this battle of, you know, what they wanted for their son and who their son was and where those things overlapped and intersected. And unfortunately, you know, before we could get far enough in our relationship for them to see what it could be, I lost my mom, then I lost my dad. But yeah, I made a point of being out. I made a point of being honest. And then that carried over into my relationships, you know, outside of the house. It's like, if I'm not going to lie to my parents, who I know how they feel, like they loved me, obviously, but if I can be honest with them, then I ain't scared of you, you know, and that's been my thing.
Do you think that in communities of color, coming out is something very different?
In communities of color, coming out, I hate to say it, it's like a minefield, depending upon the type of community you grew up in, whether it's close-knit or religious, and even parts of the country differ. Like I said, it can be a minefield, and you find yourself, you know, doing this odd dance, like, you know, where the hell's the mine? If I step here, am I going to blow things up? Mm-hmm. If I come out to this family member, you know, what'll happen? Because I myself saw what happened when not one, but two high school friends, male, they came out to their families and they wound up staying with me and my family for about 6 months apiece, you know, at separate times. And one of the parents, my mother knew personally, and she confronted the mom and said, how could you throw your son out on the street? And she basically said, you know, I don't want that in my house. And my boyfriend doesn't like it either. And she said, so you're choosing your boyfriend over your child, your blood. And see, you know, you run into things like that. I've known too many people who have been tossed out of their family homes for simply coming out, which made me very hesitant to come out. My mother said many years later that she would have never thrown me out. But I remember asking her, you're saying that now that I'm an adult and I'm living on my own, but would you not have thrown me out? I'll just say this. I really would like biphobia to be a thing of the past, yes. Damn it. We are people just like you, our gay, our lesbian, our trans family, you know, larger family. We are just like you. We go to work. We make our money. We pay our bills. we just want to be seen and respected mm-hmm. as part of the community.
Right.
That's it, yeah.
Exactly. And it's, you know, part of the things we touched on, you know, just because I'm not straight, just because I like more than one sex in a partner, doesn't mean that I'm extra promiscuous, incapable of having a relationship, incapable of having a healthy relationship. Why does it have to be, like, so strange? No one is always anything ever.
You've been listening to Common Space, and that was associate producer Jen Cleary speaking with Vendetta Washington and Charles Tyson Jr. Common Space is a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY, and it's been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. This episode of Common Space was produced by Jen Cleary with Mike Villers. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes and give us a rating. I'm your host, Jamie J. Thank you for listening.